Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
So a huge win for the Bakersfield Condors, Bruce. They were about to be essentially eliminated from the AHL playoffs, going down 3-0. It looked like it was going to happen. They had a 3-1 lead in the game. They blew it. And they got behind 6-4 late in the third period, and somehow they tied it up and won the game in overtime. It was a fantastic victory, and I would say a well-deserved win for the Bakersfield Condors. They had some bad luck in this series so far against San Diego. They probably deserved to be 1-1 in the series. They were down 2-0. And, arguably they could have been 1-1. I don't know, deserved, but they deserve to have at least one win in this series. I'll say that. And they got it tonight in an absolutely massive, heroic effort by Jolton Joe Gambardella, their 25-year-old center, who is the living, breathing engine of the team, Bruce. He has been all year long. And I thought it was absolutely fitting that in such a big game for him and the team, it was Ken Holland's first game as Edmonton Oilers GM watching that team. He got an eyeful of what Joe Gambardella has brought to that team all year long. And so this is our six things that we noticed in the game, and that's the first thing, obviously. 5-point night, hat trick for Gambardella. Assists on both the tying goal and the winning goal. And I'm so glad that Holland was in place to see that game from Gambardella, because one of the things that can go missing from a team, I think, is loyalty and even knowledge,
right,
of the farm team players as they're coming. I think that was a huge thing with Dallas Eakins, that limited the potential of some players with the Oilers, like Anton Lander.
Yes.
And it was a huge mistake by the Oilers organization at that time.
Yes, it was.
And, I've been assured ever since Holland came on, Bruce, that this wasn't going to happen, because he just talks about covering every base, and he's not going to not watch any game film for the year and that kind of thing. But he saw Gambardella.
I want to make my own impressions of him in training camp. Hey, yeah, none of that stuff.
None of that ridiculous nonsense from
Doesn't bother me much that Dallas Eakins was on the losing end of this game. But I have no actual dislike of Dallas Eakins. It just certainly didn't work out here. He had some very good ideas, but he wasn't fully developed himself as a coach. Let's put it that way.
You know what, Bruce? He recently admitted his mistake at Edmonton, saying he came with a blowtorch. So I give him a lot of credit, and I actually had a little bit of hard feeling towards him until that time because of the way he did come in. So good for Eakins, and that actually went a long way in me thinking, okay, thank goodness you admit that, and good, like we can all move on now. So I'll try to move on. So my first thing we noticed was Gambardella. What's the what's the number two on the list, Bruce?
Well, it's a big back and forth in this game. I mean, both teams blew 2-goal leads or came from 2-goal deficits, whatever you prefer. It was 3-1 Bakersfield early in the second, and it just went wham, 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 and like that it was 4-3. They tied it up, Bakersfield did, on Gambardella's third goal of the game. And then San Diego scored early in the third, and then they tagged on what seemed to be an insurance goal against backup netminder Stuart Skinner, who took over at 4-3 because starter Shane Starrett was having trouble stopping beach balls tonight. And it was 6-4, and Skinner was looking a little shaky, and San Diego was coming on, and Bakersfield looked like dead in the water. And Brad Malone, another reliable veteran on this team, on another deflection, he's very good at them, he tied the score at, he made it 6-5, and it was 6-5 all down the stretch. They had to kill a penalty with like 2.5 minutes to go. They pulled the goalie just to make it 5-on-5 at one point. And it went right down to the last 10 seconds when Malone and Gambardella won more battles along the boards and were able to feed the puck out in front to Tyler Benson, who got a couple of whacks at it and was able to bang it home with 10 seconds to go to send it to overtime. And Ryan Holt, the commentator of the Condors, in a bit of reverse foreshadowing before the puck drop. He said, Bakersfield haven't scored a single goal all year with the goalie out. I'm going, okay, well, this would be a good time. And sure enough.
Nice presence by Benson. Yeah. Bruce. He got his skate. Yeah. He got his skate on the first one to redirect Malone's pass. And then he put in the rebound with some really good hands. Like, that's huge for a team. That kind of that kind of thing can change a series. You know, it really can. Like, just will inflate those guys. They'll be as big as damn mountains tonight, Bruce. And
so that tied it up. And I'm going, well, that's great. We're going to overtime now. Well, two things here. We're gonna, you know, no point in tying it and then losing it in overtime. And there's certainly no point in tying it and then losing it in the fourth overtime. No more of that stuff. I mean, let's get this done quick and let's get it done right. And they could hardly have done it any better. 32 seconds into overtime, and again, it was the same kind of stuff. Sort of indomitable forechecking by all three of Gambardella, Malone, and Patrick Russell. With Gambardella finally working the puck where he got a lane where he could feed back to the point. And Caleb Jones made a real slick play on the point. The San Diego right winger, Corey Tropp, he made a bad mistake. He went over to try and block the same shot that the left winger was blocking. And Jones saw the two guys in his lane, and he faked the shot and slipped it over to William Lagesson. Of course, now he's got nobody in his path. And Willie wired home a real nice wrist shot far side, and that was it. 33 seconds.
Great play by Caleb Jones.
It was real good awareness.
He had not had a great game until then. He had been okay, and Lagesson had been okay. They hadn't really distinguished themselves, but that was by both of those guys. What is it with Brad Malone? Like, he's like he's like the Mikko Koivu of the AHL. Like, this big birdie effective two way center, but in the NHL he is so. It just shows the wide gulf, I guess, between the AHL and the NHL. And in if you don't have the skating and you don't have the confidence to take it up to the next level, because he just plays so much more with confidence, like he's going to make a play here rather than just playing. He's just trying to hang on and survive. And maybe because of the speed of the game in the NHL, that's what's happening with him. He's just hanging on and surviving.
And maybe he's one of those guys that's better playing 17 minutes a night than 7 minutes a night. You know, you load a little bit more ice time on him and he responds. Because he's I can't remember the last Bakersfield game I saw that he wasn't a solid positive factor.
He's such a good player at this level. Okay, item number 3 of 6, Bruce. I'm going to go with Logan Day and Evan Bouchard. And the Condors went with 7D again, which is a little bit of a, I don't know. I don't know how well that works, honestly.
Really cost them in game one.
Yeah, it cost them and might have caught close. Logan Day, man, he struggled. Whoa. He made 4 major mistakes on grade A chances this game, Bruce, and 3 of them were on goals against. And a couple of them, I can't remember which goal it was. I think it was the 5th goal, but he, Gambardella, and Stanton just left the guy wide open in the slot, in particular Logan Day. And he had a rough game. He struggles defensively. I don't know if Ethan Bear is healthy or not. He got hurt. You're going to get to that. But if it was me, I'd be looking at maybe – so Bouchard also struggled, and he was on one of the goals. He was he and Day combined to let, I think it was the 6th goal, maybe he and Day combined to let in that, let a guy wide open in the slot. But Bouchard, I thought, actually got stronger as the game went on. He actually got some ice time. He got more ice time. And I do think they should be playing more. And I would say play Day a little less. And I've kind of refrained from criticizing the coach too much on this because I understand Day's been there all year. Bouchard's new, but Bouchard has been putting up points in the playoffs. Day does have defensive weaknesses. And if Bear's not healthy, then you have no issue. Then you can just, it's easy for the coach in a certain level. Well, Bear's ready to go though. I would say sit Logan Day and play Bouchard and just go the whole game.
Bouchard, after Bear left the game halfway through the third period, Bouchard got a secondary assist on the 6-5 goal. And he was on the ice and part of the cycle on the 6-6 goal.
But see, I thought it was the goalie.
Well, they had the two of them out there.
Yeah, but I thought it was Day who was part of the play, not Bouchard. I thought it
Well,
was Day.
part of the sort of the longer play of the build up to the goal. Anyway,
yeah, they were both good offensive players who struggle a bit on defense, both of them. So anyway, what's the fourth thing, Bruce?
Well, in this game, we were remiss not to mention net mining. I mean, you mentioned the scoring chances were 12-12 and the score was 7-6. So, you know, you got to have a better than a 50% save percentage on grade A scoring chance. And I think actually San Diego got one, if not two goals on grade B scoring chances.
They did.
And Sterrett, he just seemed to, I don't know if he lost his net or what happened, but he gave up the 3-2 goal. And like 10 seconds later, it was 3-3. And then a couple minutes later, it was 4-3. And they were all from wrist shots from the top of the circle. And, you know, and a couple of good shots, but not that good. And at that
he
point,
he might have had all
Jay,
three of them.
Jay Wood, yeah, on the sharp, like on Friday night, he would have had them all. Like that, you couldn't get a seed by the guy, either guy, on Friday night. And neither looked that great in this game, Glass or Sterrett. So they had to, to Woodcroft's credit, I guess, he saw that his goalie had lost his form and he pulled him. And brought in Stuart Skinner, who wasn't even the backup in the previous game. That we had Dylan Wells play game two, and then Skinner as backup. So already in three games, the Condors have used three goalies in the series. And with three different decisions. But Skinner, I wasn't totally thrilled with some of his form, but he got his act together down the stretch and made a couple of big stops. When it was 6-4 and threatening to get out of control. And then I think San Diego got a little bit conservative in the last few minutes, and too bad for them. It bit him in the butt.
Too bad. Are we on item number five now, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to be the third and fourth lines of the Bakersfield Condors, who have been something of a strength all year long. There's the third line of Dave Gust, Tyler Vessel, and Evan Poli, and they were largely a non-factor in this game, although I will give them credit. But in the third period, they had a couple good shifts, but the team has really relied on that line. And then, you know, there's other players like Mitch Callahan and Luke Esposito, and none of those guys I thought had particularly strong games.
No.
And when that's missing from Bakersfield, mm-hmm. they're lucky to win. They were lucky to win this game. Because those guys usually are a huge factor in the game, and they just San Diego's a very, very good AHL hockey team. They're more veteran, got a lot of skill. They've added a couple really great young players, a young Swedish forward, and then Max Comtois, is that his name?
Yes,
from the Quebec League, and those are high skill players. And this is a very veteran, very good San Diego team. I think they're the favorite to win this series. Mm-hmm. I thought that from the start. And if these third and fourth lines aren't going better, they're not gonna come out on top in this series.
Yeah.
So
the first two lines scored all seven of the goals, or they were involved in them. I mean, two were scored by defensemen, but they were set up by the top two lines for Bakersfield, who carried all of the offense in this game, and I mean, seven goals worth of offense.
Yeah, Josh Curry was pretty good, and Benson was good.
Yeah,
as
he
well.
just can't seem to score right now, Josh Curry. Like, he had three or four great chances in this game, and he just couldn't solve the goalie.
He's got
zero goals now in seven games. His line mate, Tyler Benson, he had zero goals until 10 seconds left in this game. And, of course, their regular third line mate, Cooper Marody, he had zero goals when he went out. If you'd told me that their first scoring line would have zero goals basically through seven games of the playoffs, I'd say they'd be out of it. But the other line is just going so well. I think Brad Malone's got 11 or 12 points now, back to Curry, he tonight he was getting the chances. He just couldn't solve the goal. He gets another game like that, I'm pretty confident he's gonna find a way to light the lamp.
McLeod didn't have a particularly good game. He looked mm-hmm. a little out of place. Ryan McLeod, the 19-year-old mm-hmm. rookie who's just stepped in here. What's the sixth item, Bruce? Sixth and final item.
Yeah, well, we're going to go with Ethan Bear, and who scored a nice goal on a great shot. Man, he's got a good release, and he just surprises and overpowers goalies with how fast that shot is on him with accuracy. But unfortunately, he had a play about halfway through the third period where he went into the end boards behind his own net and had an awkward-looking collision with a San Diego forechecker. And I don't know whether it happened when he hit the boards or on the hit itself, but I thought the guy hit him on the left arm and then he went off the ice holding his right arm. And he, before even he, like his, he lost his stick. And before he even crossed the goal line on his way back to the bench, I'm going, oh, this does not look good. And he was kind of holding his arm up. And then a couple minutes later, Ryan Holt said he's left the game and gone to the gate and down to the locker room. It was not surprising. And I don't expect we'll see him next game or the game after that. And maybe we won't see him again because, I mean, shoulders, who knows? I mean, Nathan MacKinnon, I thought he was done for tonight. He came back after about 10 minutes of time in the room from his apparent shoulder injury. So you
Ethan
never
Bear,
know, but
Bruce, yeah, he's had some bad luck with injuries.
Yes,
He
he's
was
had a tough
healthy in
year.
three final Western Hockey League seasons by the looks of his games played. Looks like he didn't miss. I think he was carrying an injury in the Memorial Cup finals by the
Yes.
time he got there. But he was
And he
he
broke his hand or his thumb or
yeah, but
something. He had
he
some
kept
kind of a.
playing. But in his first AHL season, NHL season combined, he played 53 games, and then this year's 52 games. So there's two seasons in a row where he's been banged up, nicked up, and that is absolutely to the detriment of a prospect when those things
Yeah,
happen. They
no
really
kidding.
set a guy back. So hopefully he'll be, you know, he looks good when he's healthy. He looks better to me than he's ever looked. I've always had questions about his skating. And sometimes about his defensive reads, but both of those things have improved considerably, and to the point where he's right in there with Caleb Jones and Lagesson in the running for a job next year with the Oilers. But he's got to be healthy, and hopefully he is. Hopefully he is. You ever notice that Ken Holland says everything twice?
Well, I noticed that he repeated himself at different points in different interviews yesterday, but
Not that he repeats himself, but
I'll listen for that.
it's like he says things like, you got to be passionate. You got to be passionate.
All right,
You got to
okay.
grind. You got to grind. He's
Yes, I did hear
Kenny Tutu.
that.
I don't mind
Well,
it. It's good for emphasis. He gets his point across. He does it, I think, when he wants to make a point. But anyway.
Well, he got an eyeful tonight, Ken Holland, going down there, and I'll give credit to him. And maybe you'd say, well, this is just due diligence and everybody should do this. But the fact is that he came into Edmonton for the big press conference yesterday morning and did the one-on-one media avails and so on. And then he immediately hopped on a plane to go to San Diego. The day he's kind of bringing his family to Edmonton, in theory, and just straight to business, and which is good. I mean, that's what you'd like to see, and it's what we have seen to this moment. He said he likes to spend his time in the rink. He likes to set his own eyes on, and the first thing he did was get his own eyes on his own prospects. And these are real big games for those boys, and also for Holland himself to kind of get a grasp of what he's got in
Well,
New York.
as Ken Holland himself would say, Bruce, you gotta grind. You gotta grind.
Gotta grind. Well, he's grinding himself, and that's if you want to talk about grinding, you got to set the example. And so far, so very early, but so good. It's good on him to be down there.
Well, let's leave it there,
Yeah.
Bruce. The game gauge are up, but I'm going to add the podcast now. So thanks for talking tonight.
Game four Friday, game five Saturday. So bang bang, we're back at it now for the weekend.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.